invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, as we continue our series here on the fruit of the Spirit. Last time, we looked at long-suffering or patience. We saw that we are to be long-suffering in our relationships with other people, and we're also to be long-suffering as we live under God's providence, and we're to do that because He is long-suffering with us. Tonight, as we continue working our way here through these nine facets of the fruit of the Spirit, we'll be looking at the aspect of kindness. There is an outline in your bulletin, as usual. It's also been put on Facebook and online. So I'll read here Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, though have your outline ready, because as I like to remind you, this is a topical series, and we'll be looking at many other passages, much more so than Galatians 5 tonight. Let's hear God's word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. My next-door neighbors are named Don and Carmen. And Don and Carmen, I think, are some of the kindest people that I have ever met. When we don't have enough in the kitchen, like sugar to finish making the cake, or an extra banana, or some tin foil, these are real examples. It seems that Don and Carmen, they always are ready, they've got it, and they're ready to come to the rescue. When we needed some extra sleeping bags one time, there they were. They had the sleeping bags that we needed. And generally, whenever we ask them for something that we need but don't have at the time, they're so quick and so willing to provide that for us. And it's such a blessing to our family. But what's so amazing about this couple is that it's not just when we ask for help. But as we live next to these people, they do things for us even when we don't ask. They do things to bless us of their own accord. So, for instance, every week, Don mows the grass behind my fence because he just wants to. And he knows it's a help to me for him to do that. You know, they put bags of sweet corn on our front porch every once in a while just because they want to. And they know that we love it when they do so. It's a real blessing. And we can always tell it's not fake, that they really mean this, that they really want to be doing this. And whenever I thank Don in particular for this, he always says the same thing back to me. He says, "Oh, it's my pleasure, Adam. God has been so kind to us. We want to be kind to other people." And these are Christian people. And as I see in their lives day after day, it's the kindness that God has shown to them that keeps driving them to show such kindness to me and to their kids and to their grandkids and to our other neighbors and so forth. And what we're going to see tonight is that that is exactly how kindness is supposed to work. It flows from the kindness of God shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as those who have been shown such kindness, right, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus, what we're called to in Scripture is that we are to show that same kindness to other people as well. And that's the main point we're going to see this evening. As we think of what the Bible says about kindness, we will see that we are called to show the same kindness to all people that God has shown to us in Christ. So this is what we're going to look at as we consider this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. We just have 3 points for us tonight. And the first point I want us to look at here is that kindness is the sincere desire for the well-being of all people. It's the sincere desire for the well-being of all people. So here's where I want you to get your outline out, flip over on the back of it, and let's look at Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. We're going to be looking at these verses many times tonight. As they say a lot about the subject that we're looking at it. And there in Titus 3, verses 3 to 6, this is what we read. Paul says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're going to look at many things, like I said, but one of the first things I want you to notice here is that according to Paul, the gospel is the kindness of God. Right? The gospel is the kindness of God. So if you look again here at verse 4 in Titus chapter 3, that's what he says. He says, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that would include all that is entailed in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that was accomplished in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is, he says, the kindness of God toward us. And so what that tells us then is that our definition of kindness comes right here from the gospel of Christ. Right? What does it mean to be kind, biblically speaking? The gospel is what gives us the definition. And the first thing we learn from the gospel about kindness is that it begins with a sincere desire for the well-being of other people. A sincere, each of these words is important, sincere desire for the well-being of others. So again, look back at Titus chapter 3. And notice in verse 4, he connects two words together, the kindness and the love of God. And one of the reasons he does that is because those two always go together, right? Kindness and love are paired side by side. They're never separate. They're always connected with one another. And so in other words, the kindness that God has shown to us in the gospel, Paul says, is not a forced kindness. Right? It's not a pretend kindness, but rather, it's from the heart. It's a loving kindness. God's not acting to be kind. God actually has a genuine concern for us, as we see in the gospel. And of course, we see this in many other places of Scripture as well. Now, Paul says in Ephesians 1, for instance, that we as believers were predestined by God for salvation in love. Jesus himself says in John chapter 3 that God sent his Son out of love for the world. And this is because God's saving work, which again Paul defines here as the kindness of God, is carried out by a heart that sincerely loves us. And of course, the same thing is to be true with our kindness as well as God's people. It begins in the heart. It begins with our thoughts. It begins with our affections. It begins with our desires. Because kindness, I want you to see tonight, yes, does include outward actions. We're going to get to that in the second point. But before it includes outward actions, it starts inside of us with a genuine concern for the well-being of other people from the heart. So it's not driven by selfish ambition. It's not driven by hypocrisy. It's driven by authentic interest in the health, happiness, and safety of other people. Physically speaking, and spiritually speaking. And to add to that, we have to understand that biblical kindness, or this sincere desire for the well-being of other people, is both unconditional and all-encompassing. Right? This is another important element of it. So look on your outline at Luke chapter 6, verse 35. This is another important verse. Here's Jesus speaking, and notice what he says. He says, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Right? So here we were taught more about who are the objects of God's kindness. And what does Jesus say here? He says, God is kind even to those who don't say thank you and to those who rebel against Him. In fact, if you look back at chapter 3 of Titus again, we see the same point being made. Paul says the kindness of God came to those who are foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. This is the amazing thing about kindness. God's kindness is extended all the way to the unlikable. It's given to the sinful. It's given even to those who are His enemies. And as Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 6, our kindness is to reach the same extent. Right? We're to have genuine concern for those who will never pay us back. Right? To those who may never acknowledge our concern or anything we do for them. Who may not even appreciate it. And this is why I say, kindness desires the well-being of all people. Because that really is at the heart of what it means to be kind, regardless of who the person is, right? Where the person lives, what the person likes to do, the sins the person has committed, how different the person might be. They're to be the objects of our genuine concern. Now you might be thinking, so that sounds great. How do I develop a genuine concern for all people? And there are many things we could say about that. We'll come back to some more practical things later. But I think at least now I want to say one of the greatest ways for us to develop this orientation of heart towards all people is to grow in our understanding and appreciation of the gospel. Because again, that's what kindness comes from. That's defining kindness. That is what's going to drive us to be kind. And if we think of the gospel, who are we? Right? We were once God's enemies. We were once the unlikable and the wicked. And yet the gospel tells us he was kind to us despite all of those things. And he actually remains to be kind towards us, even though we're his people and we continue to sin against him. And so the more we appreciate and understand the gospel, the more we'll be driven to this kind of concern for other people, sincerely desiring their well-being. I think we have a great example of this in our jail ministry as a congregation. Because if you think of what's a category of humanity in our country that we often as Americans don't like to think about, don't care much for, and often forget about. I think there are many categories of humanity, but one of them undoubtedly is those who are incarcerated. Right? These are people that, by and large, Americans don't want to think of. We malign them. We cast them down because we understand, more likely than not, they're in there because they've done wrong things and they've made big mistakes. And yet our team goes into the jail week after week when we're allowed, and they spend time with these people. And they don't just spend time with these people, but they genuinely try to know these people, build relationships with these people, pray with these people, of course, share the word with these people. Because having been loved by God themselves, they actually want to help these people. And that's what kindness looks like. It actually wants to help. There's the desire there. The desire has to be there. Now, Stephen Whitmer says this, and you'll find this quote on the back of your outline. He says, kindness is a supernaturally generous orientation of our hearts toward other people, even when they don't deserve it. And that's key. So what is kindness? First thing we need to understand is kindness is a desire of the heart that is sincere, that wants to help everybody, no matter who the person is. Okay, so that's the first thing. But of course, there's more to that. And that brings us to our second point on the outline, which is kindness also leads to action for the sake of all people. So it's a sincere desire that wants to help. Now it actually helps. And so again, I want to look here at Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. And I'll read all of the verses again. Paul says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." I tried to highlight certain words there. I hope you noticed that. But here Paul tells us that God's kindness is not just from a loving heart, it also takes loving action. If you look again at verse 4, he says, the kindness and love of God appeared toward man. And just think of that word, right? That comes with the implication of forethought, planning, which of course we know God did. God came up with this plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. It also implies sending and coming. So for something to appear, or in this case for someone to appear, he first had to make a journey. And of course we know that's true as well. Christ left the realms of glory, humbled himself, and came down as a man to live for us and to save us. That is kindness. And Paul also says in verse 5 of Titus 3 that God's kindness saved us. which is another action verb, as he continues in the verse. God saved us by washing us and renewing us by the power of the Spirit he poured out upon us. Right? All of these things are action verbs, and we know that he did that through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who did much for our salvation. Right, so the point is, kindness feels, right? Kindness desires, yes, but kindness never stops there for it to be real kindness. But kindness then takes action based on those feelings and desires. As the heart wants to help, it then goes on to actually provide that help. And it does so in many different ways, both big and small. So for instance, kindness can take loving action by giving a smile. Right? That can take place by giving a handshake when we're allowed to do that, by giving a listening ear. But it could also, that's the small end, it could also be on the big end. So kindness could take the form of a time-intensive project of helping someone for weeks and weeks on end. It could also take the form of a major purchase. The action of kindness can be physical. Providing a meal, helping with a move, doing laundry, running an errand. It can also be spiritual, praying with people, discipling people, encouraging them from the Word. In fact, it really should be all of these things in one way or another, as the opportunities arise and as we are able to do so. Because if we're to be kind, we desire the well-being, but that always leads to doing something about it. Always leads to doing something about it with our time, energy, money, resources, and so forth. Now, that requires some things of us, doesn't it? I think it requires at least four things of us. First, it requires thoughtfulness on our part. Right? If we are to be kind and to show that kindness, we first have to be thoughtful. Right? So a way to put that is we have to put ourselves in the shoes of the people who are around us. Because how else are we going to know what is best for us to do? So we have to be thinking about this. It also requires readiness on our part. Right, where we are prepared to act, and we are looking for opportunities to act. Because I think often our failure to act is the result of not being ready to act. And so when there's the opportunity, we're often caught off guard by it because we're not looking for it. And yet if we're looking for it and we're ready, we're so much more likely to actually be able to do it. So it requires readiness. It also requires commitment on our part. Because while you should have the feelings, you should have the desires, you're not always going to as sinful people. And yet you still should show the acts of kindness. And so that means we have to be dedicated to this kind of action, lest our sinful hearts hold us back. And perhaps most of all, it requires sacrifice on our part. Because kindness always comes at a cost. Like many other things that God calls us to do. And we can think of Jesus. His kindness costs him his life. And while it may not cost us our lives, being kind to other people will always have a price. And Christopher Wright, I think, describes it well when he says that kindness can be as simple as a pleasant word or a caring smile. But more importantly, being kind means being willing to do something or to take some action that helps somebody else, even if it might be inconvenient to myself. Right? So, if we're to be kind, as God is kind, we need to take action that will provide tangible help to other people. Now, let's bring that more to home here, and let's think about that some more. So, in the home, in our families, what does this look like? Let's begin with the husbands. Husbands, this means we love our wives by washing the dishes, putting the kids to bed, giving our wives a break in whatever ways that we can. That's what kindness looks like. Now, for the wives, that means we help our husbands. We work hard to care for the home and to support our husbands in their calling. It also means children, boys and girls, you need to help your parents. Right? By being eager to do your chores and to do your part in the home. Then there's the workplace. Right? What does kindness look like in the workplace? It means we look after our coworkers. And we find ways to make their jobs easier and their days better. Right? In the church, this means we come alongside one another to help with whatever's needed, to help with financial needs, to help provide fellowship and friendship, to be there when anybody needs us for anything. And in the world, this means that we look out for our neighbors, share the gospel, and invite them to worship. Again, there are many ways it can be done. The point is, it's got to be done. Kindness acts. It doesn't sit back. It doesn't wait. It does whatever it can. In The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, Rosaria Butterfield, many of you I know have read this book, tells the story of her conversion. And her conversion really all began with a simple letter from a community pastor, Ken Smith, who is the pastor of the Syracuse RP Church. And Ken sent the letter because when he became aware of Rosaria, at the time, Rosaria was an unbeliever, she was a feminist, she was a lesbian, and so forth, but Ken sincerely cared for her. He was concerned for her, but he sincerely cared for her, especially for her spiritual state. And so he didn't deride her, right? He didn't cast her off, but instead he decided to write a letter expressing that care and concern. And Rosaria says in the book, it was a letter that was kind and inquiring. And I bring that up because that's again what kindness does. It feels and then it acts on the feelings. It desires and then it does something about what it desires, physically speaking, but also spiritually speaking. And so that's what we see in the gospel. And so that's what we are to see in our own lives. And this brings us now to our third and final point on the outline, which is kindness should be your glad response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's a sincere desire that takes action for the well-being of other people, and we are more than happy to do it. Why? Because of God's kindness to us. That's the flow of thought that we need to see here. So look now on your outlines at Ephesians 4, verse 32, where Paul tells us this. He says here, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And so here what he's saying is that God's kindness to us in Christ should drive us to show this kind of kindness to other people. That the one should lead to the other, but not because we have to. Now we do have to, and we should do it no matter how we feel, but because we want to. I think that's implied here. If we're thinking of God's kindness to us, the response is a glad response. The response is a kind response, especially when we realize we don't deserve an ounce of the kindness of the Lord. And yet that's hard for us, isn't it? We all understand that. Kindness, like the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, don't come naturally to us. So if we're honest with ourselves as sinners, whose well-being are we typically most concerned with? Our own. We're more likely than not absorbed with what's best for us and what we want than we ever are for what's best for other people. And so we tend to overlook other people. We tend to make them second in our lives. We tend to do what blesses us and what helps us while forgetting those around us. That's true for all of us, isn't it? We all tend to forget to be kind, and then even when we do remember, we don't always do something about it. Or we do it for the wrong reasons. Right? We do it to be thanked. We do it to be appreciated. We do it to garner a particular reputation. We do it to get something out of it, and yet really, that's almost as bad as not doing it at all. Because true kindness, as we've described it, is never focused on self. True kindness is always focused on somebody else and what is best for them, even if it's not best for me. That's what kindness looks like. And of course, that's why we need Christ and why we need His Spirit so desperately. Because the fact of the matter is, we can't be kind. But we can't be kind as God is kind on our own. We have to have the Lord changing us. And thankfully, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, that is what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing for us. And this comes out in Titus chapter 3 as well. So look back at Titus chapter 3. Paul describes who we were before the kindness of God came to us in the gospel. And again, who does he say we were? foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. In other words, before we were converted, we were not kind. There's nothing kind about us. But when we received the kindness of God in Christ, all of that changed. We've been washed, and we are being renewed. As we saw in our first sermon in this series, the Spirit of God is working to produce these graces like kindness in us supernaturally, gradually, and necessarily. And so if you are in Christ this evening, though kindness is utterly impossible for you to do on your own, you should be growing in kindness. This kind of kindness, because the Spirit is working to make you kind as God is kind. What an encouragement that is. We are full of malice and envy, and yet the Lord has changed us and is changing us. And that should not only encourage us, but that should encourage us to do our part. Because remember, we also have a part to play if we're to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so in addition to what I've said this evening, I want to close with us going over here four practical ways to grow in kindness as I've described it for us tonight. And the first one is this: pray for the people in your life. Pray for the people in your life. Now, I say this because I firmly believe there are few things that warm your heart towards other people like prayer does, even towards your enemy. I'm sure you've heard the cliche saying, the church that prays together stays together. That's true. Right? It may be cheesy, but that is absolutely true. This is why pastors counsel those who are at odds with each other. What's one of the first things you should do when you've got two people at odds with each other? Start praying for each other. That's where you start. Why? Because prayer unites hearts. Prayer overcomes these difficulties. Prayer forces you to think of other people. And as a result, prayer works in you to start caring for those people more and more. So if you commit to praying for your church family, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, and so forth, that sincere desire will start growing more and more and more. Second, be with the people in your life. Be with the people in your life. And by that I mean spend time with them and actively work to build good relationships with them. And I say that for the same reason I said pray for the people in your life. It's because being with one another draws our hearts closer to one another. It's how it works. And if we're to be kind to one another, we need that to be taking place. I don't want to repeat too much of what I said this morning, but that's why I think hospitality is so crucial in the Christian life. And I realize we may be limited to some degree as to what the hospitality we can practice looks like today. But I, again, firmly believe that you never really get to know someone until you either have them in your home or sit down and have a meal with them. But that is absolutely crucial, that hospitality is one of the main building blocks for relationships in life. We should then be building those relationships, again, with all the people. Now, in some ways, okay, that's impossible. But the point of saying all the people is it's not just with the immediate family. It's not just with those we have things in common with. It's not just with those we like to be around. Right? But it's with those we have issues with. It's those who are absolutely unlike us. Even those people, if we are to be kind as God is kind, we have to build relationships. Third, look and listen carefully for opportunities to be kind. Look and listen carefully for opportunities to be kind. There are more opportunities for you to be kind than you could ever imagine. And that's why I say this. In other words, we don't lack kindness because we lack ways to be kind. No, we lack kindness because we tend not to know how to be kind. And yet if we are looking and listening for ways to be kind, we will discover countless, countless opportunities. So what are ways that we can look and listen? Well, for one, pay attention to the prayer requests that we share with one another as a church family. Right? Write them down. Take them home. Pray for them throughout the week. Pay attention to what people say to you when you interact with them, and when you build relationships with them. And if you're listening and you're thinking of how to be kind, you'll notice particular ways to show kindness that will always come up in the conversation. There are always opportunities to be kind. Pay attention even when you're praying for people. Right? I find this happening to myself. I'll be praying for people in the church, thinking of what's going on in their lives, and then, well, there's the light bulb. Well, I could do something about that. I should reach out to them. Right? So if you're thinking about praying for the people, and you are praying for the people, you'll also be thinking of ways you can show that kindness towards them. Always opportunities. We just need to see them. We need to look and listen for them. And then fourth, take advantage of every opportunity to be kind. Again, within reason. But take advantage of every opportunity. If we are to be kind as God is kind, it needs to become our habit. In other words, it's not just something we do once a day, right? Our one good deed of the day, and when we've done it, we can check the box and we can go on our merry way. But rather, no, if we are to be kind, not just show kindness, but be kind as God is kind, it needs to be something that we do all day, every day. Right? It's a part of who we are. It's in our being. It's in our heart. And it's only going to be a part of who we are when we start taking advantage of all the opportunities coming in front of us. Now, yes, we have to balance that with our responsibilities in life, undoubtedly. But we need to take advantage of the opportunities more and more. Because we should want this to be who we are. Have you ever thought about that? We should want this to be who we are. Because thankfully, this is who God is. And you realize it's because God is kind that if you're a believer tonight, you're not on your way to hell this evening like you should be and like I should be. It's because God is kind that that's not our destination. And praise be to Him, He is kind to us through Jesus Christ, though we sin against Him every day. And so again, the point is, we should want to be kind because we've been given this kindness from Him. Now, I began this evening by telling you about my neighbors, Don and Carmen. Right? These are two people, when I think of kindness, here's a couple who are known for their kindness. And I want to ask you tonight, and I ask myself the same question, is that what you are known for as well? When people think of you, is kindness what comes to their mind? Those who have the Spirit of God, this is what other people should be able to see in us. And so let us respond to God's kindness by showing the same kindness gratefully and gladly without exception. This is what the Spirit's working to produce within us. Let us pursue it as well. Let's pray. Lord, make us kind. We confess that we are often unkind. We may do kind things, but I know for me that sincerely desiring the well-being of other people, that's convicting. Lord, I desire my own well-being, but I don't always and perfectly desire the well-being of others. So we pray together for your forgiveness of that, and we pray, give us that heart. Give us your heart that is full of kindness and love towards other people. Lord, may we genuinely be concerned and want to help others. And may that genuine concern always lead to tangible action. Lord, make us kind. We would be known for kindness, and may we want to be kind because we are so thankful that you have been kind to us. Lord, we pray this in your Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.